Commercial Construction Coffee Talk fans. Thanks for chiming in. My name's David Corson. I'm your host. I'm also the publisher and editor of Commercial Construction Renovation Magazine. Hope everybody's doing great this week. Thanksgiving next week. Turkey Day, gobble, gobble. What can I say? I think the Falcons are playing the Patriots. Deja vu, Super Bowl a couple years ago. Run the ball three times, kick the field goal, they win the Super Bowl. Did that happen? Nope, didn't happen. But Tom Brady's got another ring on his finger. So, you know, but anyway, good luck to the Falcons tonight. We're pulling for you. Even though I'm a Yankee living in the South, like the rest of the half the people in Atlanta, we're all transplants. So, but the Braves, they pulled it out, had the parade. So, way to go. Good for Freddie Freeman and all those boys over there playing in the new park. A job well done. And, you know, the city of Atlanta, you know, we'll take it. You know, listen, since the Braves won, you know, Falcons lost in the Super Bowl, and Atlanta United, the soccer team, won, and we also had our indoor lacrosse guys, so we had the Georgia Swarm, they won the indoor championship, and so we've had a couple, but not many, so winning here is a big thing, and like I said before, you go to a game, half the stadium's filled with other people's jerseys, you know, like today, I'm an HLN today, so, anyway, we got SEC championship coming up here, Georgia Bulldogs, number one in the country. Gotta beat the Tide, you know, it's coming up here, you know, so and once again, coming back to Mercedes-Benz SEC championship, they could have had that, you know, the national championship game, had it done at the end, bloom, had went overtime, didn't get it done, so hopefully they'll be able to redeem themselves and you know, win that game, and then you know, win it all in January for when the bowl season starts. So with that said, gobble gobble next week, but business at hand today. Today, we've got a couple of guests right across the border, up I-75 and then 24 over to the great city of the music city of Nashville, Tennessee. I've got Jared Bradley with the Bradley Projects and Scott Delano with Certified Construction Services. Gentlemen, say hello to our audience on Commercial Construction Coffee Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
And tell me which one's which. I know who you guys are, but say Jared's on the left. Well, my left, and Scott's on the right, correct?
Yeah, we always say the better looking one is Delano over here, but
yeah, there you go. Jared, we had Jared on our multi family cover here back in our issue a couple months back. So, you know, he's famous, he's got the aviators going on there. You know?
yeah, that was also our Barnett. Yeah, that was also his sunglass commercial.
You know, it's a little backwards here on Zoom, but anyway, that's him. And the reason actually we had these two gentlemen on is, you know, the publisher reached out and said, hey, you know, they have a really good story to tell, you know, from the end user and the contractor working together, you know, on projects, how to keep things seamless and keep things on time, as well as just like everybody else, we've all went through the pandemic. And, you know, since last March, now it's been 18 months coming on, you know, ready to close the year out, and the freaking bug is still here. I'm actually getting on a plane for the first time since last March. I was in Milwaukee last March when the bug came in and March Madness got canceled. I was supposed to go to Columbus, Ohio to go see my University of Denver Pios. That's where I went to school, play lacrosse against Ohio State, who crushed them the year before. So I was looking for a nice revenge game on the road to take the Buckeyes out. And that got canceled too. So, you know, think about March Madness, man. I was like ready to go to the horseshoe, you know, yeah, and go see some lax in the, you know, in March in some cold weather. So, but, you know, as they say, you know, you know, business rolls on, good or bad, you know, you just got to get her done. And here we are 18 months later. And like I said, the reason why we had these gents on, because listen, contract construction didn't stop. Depending on which state you were in, regulations hindered it here and there. But for the most part, you know, things just went on. There were a lot of things that people had to deal with. And you had to kind of refine the way you did things on project sites and worrying about safety and all those things, which we'll get into. But this is how it works, gents. We do it in three parts. You got to tell your little short little bio. And listen, you can't leave any skeletons in the closet. It's right. Confine you. And then we'll talk about, you know, lessons learned in the pandemic and coming out of it. And then, you know, we'll close it out. So we'll start with Jared, since, you know, he was on the cover. You know, we'll give him the honor. And Jared, the floor is yours. Tell us your story.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you so much, David, for having us. For the article and the magazine. That was great. We're working on a calendar next, and that'll be out soon.
Hey, I want to print that for you guys.
Yeah, right. The boys have certified is what we're calling it. But anyway, I'm Jared Bradley, and I'm a licensed architect, a licensed general contractor, and a real estate developer. And so that's been going on for about 20 years now. My career has taken a lot of different paths early on. I was fortunate enough to sort of be, you know, submerged into the real estate development world as a young architect in San Diego, California. And that's where most of my career started as a young adult. Early on, I saw sort of the writing on the wall that the architecture profession is it needs to change, and it needs to adapt to, you know, the current market and what's happening with construction and the whole industry. And it was very sort of unsatisfying for me to sit in an architecture office and sort of listen and understand development and listen and understand construction, but really feel sort of ineffective. So we started early on, my wife and I started a more of a vertically integrated practice where we're the architect, and we have an architecture firm, but the sole purpose of that architecture firm is to fuel our real estate development. And our sole purpose of our general contracting companies is to deliver basically the real estate development side of it. And so we have three companies. The Bradley Projects is the architecture firm. The Bradley Development Group is the real estate development side. And Certified Construction Services is our general contracting arm. Scott's our principal and lead on the construction side. I'll let him speak in a minute. But you know, from our perspective, we believe, and a lot of my mentors taught me a little thing called the evil triangle, which is where you have the architect, the owner or developer, and the contractor. And those three guys are always, two of them are always in a line. So in the beginning, the developer hires this brilliant architect who's the best guy in the world and can do no wrong. And then from that, as soon as those drawings and the design gets developed, it hands off to the contractor. And all of a sudden what happens, we find, is that the architect didn't know much, because now the contractor can't get the project to budget. And so if he can't get it to budget, then all of a sudden that architect doesn't know very much. And so he's the bad guy. All that unfolds through the project. We know the story. At the end of the day, the architect and the general contractor are usually on the same side, trying not to get sued by the owner for liability issues. And so,
man, we got to turn the keys over. And they're like, what did you guys do, man?
Yeah. And then at that point, no one knows what they're doing, and everybody's wrong, and everybody's pointing fingers. So what we decided to do early on was, like, let's take a business model where we vertically integrate that. And all of us are on this side of the table, and the project is on the other side of the table. And the only purpose here is the success of that project, not trying to cover our own selves or you know, sort of try to deflect liability. So that's sort of where we come from, the background from San Diego to here, moving to Nashville about 9 years ago. So we're fairly localized now. We moved to Nashville and found that we weren't very welcomed with that business model in the South, because lenders, our equity people, you know, our debt people were all saying, you can't do it that way here. You have to have a separate architect. You certainly can't be the builder of your own work, and you certainly can't be the developer. So it took a couple of years and meeting the right people and really kind of pushing the market here in Nashville. I should say too, when we got here in Nashville, it was still a sleepy little town. It was 2013, 2014, mm-hmm. and it hadn't quite hit yet, like everyone knows it now. The first couple of years was tough. We did some TIs, we did some build outs of smaller scale stuff, just trying to meet people, build a sub base. And I told Ashley at the time, my wife, I said, look, I've got to stop building this stuff. We've got to find someone to do the building side of it, because it's going to kill me. It's a very difficult place to sort of get landed. And ironically, that's about the time I met Scott Delano here, who was working at another company. And I said, this guy knows what he's doing. He's a fantastic guy. If I could work with anybody, it would be him. And so we decided to say, look, from now on, all of our real estate development work and all of our architecture, it's going to go through Scott. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward about a year and a half after that relationship, the company he was with had some issues and started to, you know, sort of, I won't go into those details, but they basically disappeared. And Scott and I got together and said, hey, why don't we why don't we pull this band together and really do what we know how to do best? And our and you know, since then we've just been building all over the city. Most of our work is just within the downtown area. We don't really venture too far out. Mm-hmm. And so we've really been able to make a really positive impact in the city in multiple ways. So that's a little bit about my background. I don't know if you want to, Scott, you jump in there. Sure.
Give us your gig there.
Well, I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. Born and raised in the Motor City.
Go Lions.
Go Lions, go Tigers.
No Red Wings. Come on. We got, you know,
Red Wings too. But I ended up enlisted in the Army when I was 18 after high school. And it took me here to just north of Nashville to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. So I was up at Fort Campbell for almost 5 years. Got out of the Army in 96. And so I spent a lot of time in Nashville mid 90s there. Went back to Michigan, went to graduate school, ended up working for a general contractor for a long time. And then I moved back here in 2008. And I've been here ever since. So I went to work for a local general contractor here in Nashville, 2008. And, you know, and watched this city really blossom, and just things happen here that are just amazing. The amount of people that are coming here, the amount of of activity that's happening in this city. It's just a great place to be, and I'm glad to be part of it. And it's been wonderful. As Jared said, we met each other about 5.5 years ago and started working together as contractor architect. And we just really hit it off, and we have the same type, you know, goals and the same type way of treating people. And we look at things the same way as far as, you know, treating people the way that we want to be treated, and treating our subcontractors the same way that we treat our clients, treating our employees, you know, as if they're family. And we just, we've been very, very fortunate and very lucky here in the last 5 or 6 years to really grow something that's special. And it's, you know, we're making an imprint on the city, and we have some really great projects that we finished and some great projects that are going on and a bunch of great projects in the pipeline. And even through this pandemic and these tough times that we've dealt with, we've gotten much stronger. And I feel like we've actually increased our productivity and increased our subcontractor base and increased our client relationships. And we've really blossomed as a company even through these tough times.
Hey, interesting mix there. You got a Midwestern Michigan boy and a West Coast Southern, California dude out on the, the West Coast, it's kind of like, listen, I'm a sports guy. So, it's like you get drafted, you go to school, you got all sorts of people, you got to bring them together, and then you got to mesh that team, even though they're from all different walks of life and backgrounds and demographics. It's about getting that, crossing the finish line or across
in the pocket. When you're in California, you realize that anything past Nevada is the East Coast. So it's all sort of the same.
Yeah, like I went to University of Denver. People's like it's West. I'm like, no, that's a mountain town. It's like anything over on the Western Range. As you get to Western Colorado, then you're getting into the West, in my opinion. But people are like, oh, Colorado, that's out West. I'm like, not really. It's not California. The funny thing is that, my wife's an interior designer, so I'm a publisher, but I come from a construction family. So we launched a federal contracting firm, registered, with Sam and stuff. And we kind of did the same thing with you, that you guys did. You found a contractor. I would, my wife was like, look, you're doing all these little bathroom jobs. Why don't we go after a courthouse or, something like this, and we could do all the stuff. I could bring some of the vendors in that I know that do, restroom fixtures or flooring and that kind of stuff. And we can go after those types of projects. I'm not going after $30 billion nuclear power plants. I'm just a little guy, but the same gig. I said, hey, you can have your hand in it, and we'll go get the vendors. So I totally get what you did about that triangle gig. And, cause we did the same thing. And, and I'm still doing this as well. So it's an interesting concept. So let's talk about the pandemic. So before the pandemic, you guys were kicking tail, just like every other contractor, engineering, architecture firm that I was talking to. In the beginning of January of, 2020, everything was freaking booming. There were cranes everywhere. you know, very tough to get a plane seat. Everybody I was talking to was just jamming. And then, you know, the pandemic hit, and it was a little different, like the 9/11 or the 08 crash, because things were still open. You could, you know, granted, a lot of destruction economically, mentally, patriotically, on all those different items. Even with the .com back in 2001, I mean, still, you know, things were, it wasn't like you're shut down, you don't know, let's just do it 3 weeks to a month and then maybe we'll be back. Here we are 18 months later and there's still stuff going on that hinders the construction project. You got the labor shortage, you got product shortages, you still have, you know, regulations, some of these states with their, you know, with their mandates. And, you know, I'm in Georgia, so I'm right next door to you guys. So I, you know, things here still were, you know, we're in business. Contract construction projects were still going online. They just had to put the protocols in place to keep their, you know, subs or employees basically cleansed or clean. That was the biggest thing that I thought, talking to architects, engineers, developers, hey, what am I going to do about my construction site? What are the liabilities? You know, what if that person gets sick, gets home, he brings, gives it to someone else, that person might pass away or get very ill, who's liable? All of these things, even myself, I was going through these things. Like when the pandemic hit, I was looking at hotels up in for my fall retreats. And I told the hotels, look, I need that paragraph in my contract that's going to protect me. Because if I don't have any brands, I'm not allowed to fly. And there's a corporate mandate that says, hey, you can't get on a plane, you can't go out and see clients. I can't have an event. And the hotel doesn't care. You know, they're not, you know, you might sign the contract, but they're not buying that F&B until, you know, a couple days before, you know. So these were the things that I had to go through, even looking at the CD sites and all this stuff. But the major thing was, is that everybody was going through that same kind of thought process of, you know, what am I going to do to make this through? And as time goes on, maybe a little more certainty of, you know, what was actually happening. So being, you know, you got Nashville's 3-hour ride for me, give or take, depending if they're doing construction up the hill and down the hill, which is, if any of you have not done the ride in Tennessee, there are two awesome ranges. One's between Chattanooga and Nashville. It is a killer. Listen, I lived in Colorado, so the Vail Pass, Rabbit Ear, I've gone over all of them, skied all the mountains. But in Tennessee, it is an awesome ride, man, whether you're in a car or a bike, man. Going up through Chattanooga, up the hill, and then down, and then you come into Nashville. Same thing, up towards 75, you know, Knoxville, and then down into Kentucky, you know, and then you see all the horse farms. So beautiful ride, especially in the spring or summer. If you've never done it, it's an awesome, awesome view. Anyway, when you guys, you know, when the pandemic hit and then, you know, rolling through it, what was your thought process? Did you have your people work at home? Did you do the hybrid thing, the virtual? What was your thought process?
Well, I think, interestingly, I think it's, you bring up a couple of good points there. I think we were maybe slightly naive in thinking that we were going to get through this unscathed at one point, because construction didn't really stop. I think Scott immediately implemented a lot of things. We reached out to our attorneys. We reached out to our safety consultant who we use here in Nashville and everything. No one really knew what to do. Everyone was following CDC guidelines. So we're all learning as fast as we can. I know the first thing you did, Scott, was like just immediately figured out how to like deploy as many sanitation stations as we could throughout the job site. And that was like, what does that look like? So we, you know, we did the best we could with what we had available. Of course, there was no sanitizer around. Right. So everyone's going to the whiskey distilleries, getting their byproducts, and and we all smell like a still out in the job sites. But, you know, it was both frustrating and interesting to look at it backwards now, because in the South, I felt like when you looked at the COVID mapping, I felt like, well, you know, in the South, we hear like it's not a problem. You know, it almost was like it didn't exist here. But when you look at the mapping of it, and then you see how many cases we have in the South versus the Pacific Northwest and all of this.
Oh, yeah.
So for us, I think the immediate changes in the pandemic for us here in the South and the construction industry looked exactly like what you described, which was how do we keep our people safe? How do we keep ourselves clean? And how do we isolate people on the job site in smaller pods? But as that started getting some time under the belt, I really thought, well, this isn't going to be that bad. We're going to keep moving through this. But because of, like I mentioned before about our company, where I didn't see the problem was what we're dealing with now. And I think like for us as contractors, the immediate hit wasn't as obvious as what the backlash is now. So now we're dealing with things that I would have not ever thought about, and both financially on the construction side, and we can talk more about that in a little bit, and some of the things that Scott's, you know, sort of got going in the company now on the construction side, but really on the real estate development side, we've got partners, investment partners around the country who get frustrated because they're hearing things about how great the market is in Nashville now, and it never really stopped. But that doesn't really relate to multifamily or condo sales. It really is reflective of the single family home sales because people want that space now. So our condensed urban environments are really what's sort of struggling from the pandemic. Mostly
there's no inventory. I had my house. I just sold my third house. Been here since 92. So it was in my last house for 17 years. And, put it up on the market. My basement wasn't finished. It was just the three of us. I had five dogs. So I had my office stubbed out, but we didn't do the basement. Had a football field, backyard, you know, anyway, huge house. And we put it up, and then we had a guy from Dallas. He put a, you know, put an offer on it. And then they were an older couple. I don't know why they bought a three-story home going up and down the stairs. So they kicked out. I told my wife, I go, look, let's just finish the basement. We got the vendors. Let's just get it done. And I'll use it as a project profile in the magazine. I'll get some vendors. We'll do some trade outs, and we'll get the thing done. So we took it off the market because we didn't want to have market rot on there. And I also wanted to see politically what happened, you know, with January 6th and, you know, the inauguration, you know, and all that. I'm gonna call it BS. And anyway, so we went through it, and then we started our project. Then I told my wife, I go, look, we can't sell our house until we find another house. So we bought a piece of land last September up on Lake Lanier. So we wanted to build, we're gonna act as our own contractor. But I told my wife, I go, look, we can't sell our house until we find a house, and there's no inventory. Nothing was built. So we started going out and looking at these homes, and we'd be going up against 35, 40, 50 people for these, you know, 275, 300,000 homes. Mm-hmm. And that's what they look for. And then come in the middle of this year, they were 350, but then you had to pay another 30,000 or 40,000 to get it. Mm-hmm. So the home that I'm sitting in, I'm up in my new casa, my fourth home. We had to beat 49 people out for this house. 49.
And double bags of cash.
And we bought a cash, because if you weren't a cash buyer, if you were a mortgage, you were pushed back. I was pushed up to the front, and you know, I was lucky that, you know, we could do it that way. But so I told my wife, I go, and we lost out on about 15 or 20 homes. And I told her, I said, look, I want to be as close to the land as I can, because I want to keep an eye on the property. You know, if you're pouring the concrete, like I just ordered a soil test for the septic tank, you know, for our land, and to deal with the county today. And so I said, I don't want to be in the middle of Georgia between Macon and Savannah, because that's the only place that we're going to be able, if we can find a house. Mm. And so that was the biggest struggle. So finally, we bought the house in June, and then we put this one, finished the basement, we put it up on the market. And then in September, we closed, and then, you know, had to wait, go through that, the ordeal of October, you know, getting the inspection done, getting through your appraisal, which came in, and then you wait until, you know, your walkthrough, and then, you know, we closed. And which was awesome. But in those four couple months, this little house is appraised. Now my house, it was way up there, but then it, you know, it started to go down a little. So, you know, it was, you know, the market's definitely changing, I always tell people, you can't build a hotel or a retail store in a week. You might be able to build a kiosk in a shopping center, you know, to sell watches or earmuffs or hats, but these other projects, you know, they take much longer to do, just like a house, you know, it can, you know, unless you're doing, a modular gig where, you know, you're going to bring the gig in, you know, the containers, but still, it still takes time. And, The biggest thing was, I'll tell you, doing my basement. I mean, buying 12 gauge, 12 to 42 gauge wire, you couldn't even find it. You know, my wife's got contracts at Sherwin-Williams and Benjamin Moore for paint. We go in there and there's no primer. You're a paint store. How could you not have primer to do the thing? Yeah. You know, I got the electrical sent to me from Ohio and I said, hey, can you send me the wire? He goes, oh, no, we don't have any. We can't even find it. You're going to have to find it down there. You know, so these were even the little gang boxes, you know, they're like 30 cents at Lowe's or Home Depot. You know, they're 80, 90 cents. Now, is that going to kill my budget? No, but if you're building a multi-unit home with, you know, 400 units, that's on your bottom line. It's not going to crush you, but still, you know, even those little rolls, I wanted to buy my rolls in 1,000 feet. I couldn't get them that way. So I had to buy them at 250, the electrical wire. Those rolls, you know, maybe 60, 70 bucks, $130, $140. That's if you could find it. So that whole labor shortage thing, you know, the first thing I did in March last year is I redid my deck, myself, my kid, and did the planks and all that. But if I would have done that this year, oh my God, I probably would have spent on those, you know, 10 by twos or whatever. I would probably would have spent four times as much because I bought the wood before, you know, lumber went up like this. And if it didn't go like this, it went like this.
Oh yeah, we know.
And if you think about it though, like that's kind of the backlash I was talking about, like during, when the world was shut down, you know, tightly, that's when I was thinking we're probably going to be okay through this particular crisis. This is the one crisis that in my lifetime, I've seen a couple. Not, you mentioned 9/11, the 2007, 2008 economic crisis. Even some of the recession issues in the 90s, I vaguely remember. But the point is that this is one I thought we'd get out of unscathed from the construction industry because we were blowing and going during the shutdown, albeit carefully. But then I never really thought that backlash would be so severe what we're seeing now. I mean, Scott can talk to this, but I mean, the lumber, I thought, well, that's one issue. And we started figuring out why that was happening, but it started with lumber and it hasn't stopped. Every single line item. And Scott, like we have a whole lumber yard of our own in their parking lot now because
right behind us.
Scott's hoarding, you know, plywood. We have 8,000 sheets that we're constantly cycling through on our own office site because that's what we're deduced to right now, you know.
My sheetrock guy, when I did my basement, I added about 2,200 square feet. So when he went in and measured, you know, my wife, she's in industrial, we're down there, we're doing the laser and everything. Anyway, he got it down to where he didn't have one sheet of drywall left. He just had some. I go, dude, I've never seen that done.
Just popped into place.
We had to do it this way because you're not going to find it. And Georgia Pacific is local here. It's not like I couldn't find it, you know, gypsum. But he said, he goes, David, we had to do it this way because believe me, I ran those numbers so many times before I had it because you might not be able to find it. And, and this is, you know, like, can't find sheetrock.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you can't find anything. So you go to some of these, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, nothing against those guys because they can't control it. The shelves are freaking empty, you know? On our punch list, when we sold our house, we had to get some grout for the master bathroom. We had to, you know, fill in some, in the shower, and we couldn't find it. And we had to call some of my wife's tile guys and go, hey man, do you have this grout? You know, we need to get a match. I can't stick it, you know, in there, you know? So finally found it, you know, we did it ourselves, you know, but still you can find it. We went to three stores one night and my wife goes, I can't believe I cannot find this grout. I'm like, I know, this is just crazy. A simple thing like that, but that can stop your whole project, you know?
Yeah, when the pandemic hit, the one thing that what our companies really had just closed on about $26 million worth of construction loans. Mm-hmm. So we had about $26 million worth of work that started three pretty good sized projects right in January of 2020. So it was like, we knew we had this long runway in 2020 and 2021 and this backlog of work to go ahead and start working on. And what actually ended up happening was a lot of our competitors, our subcontractors will work for other GCs are like, yeah, this job was supposed to go and it's not happening. This job is supposed to go and it's not happening. So we actually had no labor shortage at all on our projects, which was great. We did put a bunch of COVID protocols in place. We did spread out our office staff and people were working from home. obviously nowadays with the computers and so forth that we've got and remote servers, we can, we can do just about as much as from your house as you can from the office anyway. But we did a pretty darn good job of going through it with our safety guy who was out on our sites constantly, and just making sure that we were handling the protocols as required. The one big thing that we had here in Nashville was really just inspections were so difficult to get because the Metro Codes Department was on short staff and they were only inspecting on certain days of the week. And, you know, when you're doing a multifamily 4 or 5 story building and you need to have a store, one of the floors inspected to get a fire marshal in there, you know, it's just, it backed up a lot of that stuff, but we got through all that. But I think that what you've said and what Jared said is true. I really think what we're going through right now is a lot worse than anything that we went through for the last year and a half. And what's happening now is that the cost of materials are just blowing every budget that we have. It's just, you know, we have to sit down with our owners now and we really have to like think outside the box on how are we going to handle, you know, a 20% increase on roofing materials or not being able to get tapered roof insulation, which you can't get for 5 or 6 months. And therefore you got to look at a different way to insulate your roof so you can meet, you know, our value requirements as an example. You know, the lumber debacle that happened was just amazing. I mean, we started purchasing, we purchased over $650,000 worth of lumber for multiple projects and stored them at our office and then shipped them to the job sites as needed. Because at the time, plywood and OSB board and so forth was so short, we were afraid we weren't going to get it.
We were also buying lumber on the futures market. So we became like stockbrokers. Like we're all watching it as if we're on Wall Street.
It was crazy. It was just something that's way outside the box.
Good locks on that lumber because that was like, you know, siphony gas. Hey man, there's a nice plot of a lumber, you know, we should visit that guy's office at 4 a.m, you know?
Yep. Oh, we did. We had to get insurance policies, all kinds of stuff put in place to, you know, for the additional cost of the value of it. But it's just, it's been something we've never seen before. Thankfully, most of all of our work is negotiated. So we work with a lot of the same clients and these clients, you know, they read the paper, they know what's going on. They know about the commodities markets and about the fact that material cost escalations and shortages are so rampant right now that we're able to sit back down at the table and say, look, you know, in January, when we priced this job or went under contract, we were here. Now we're here with mechanical equipment and we have a shortage on these materials. So let's collectively think about how we're going to go ahead and face this together. And that's one good thing is that we do have the ability to, we have the trust in the relationships with our clients to where we can sit down and we can very black and white. This is what it costs then. This is what it costs now. Let's figure out how we're going to battle through this thing.
I did a podcast with a contractor. She was in Australia and she said that she knew another contractor that had, it was like a 300 home development that all the homes were sold, but they had to cancel the contract because of the product and, you know, no lumber and that the price of the home to build that they had quoted and what they had to build it at currently, there was no way they were going to take a bath. And they just said, here, you know, and construction and liability and lawsuit, they're tied. I don't care what you are. It's, you know, it's just inevitable that someone's gonna, you know, not like what they see.
And, well, the good news about Scott was, I think one thing that you were kind of alluding to is that when we talk about our clients, I'd say about 75 or 80% of our work is our own real estate development. So when we say that, what we mean is we're really talking about our partners and our financing partners who are part of our real estate side. However, because I'm part developer with them, what ends up happening is, you know, we're all, like I said, we're all on this side of the table. So there is no issue of trust. So when Scott says, look, hey guys, we have got to buy $800,000 worth of lumber right now that we don't need for 8 months. Everyone listens to Scott and says, yeah, you know, he's done his research. This is not some sort of scam by the GC. Or why are we buying mechanical equipment when we're still digging footings for a multifamily project? Well, because if we don't buy it now, we need it next year. Like we're buying stuff out. And in order to get our lenders and our equity people, you know, in line to agree to release that kind of money, it takes a lot of trust to say, look, we're going to go ahead and draw $1.5 million for something that we don't need for a year. And that really speaks to the loyalty of of both us and our partners on our projects and the dedication that we have to our projects, that this isn't about us trying to make money or stack anything in our favor. They know that, you know, and that's the really the great thing about how we work, is that we build that sort of integrity as a team. And I don't know how other people are doing it, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how, if you're sort of a big gun for hire contractor and you've only got clients, you don't have partnerships, I'm not sure how that's going right now. It's an interesting time to be doing what we're doing, but I'm also hoping that this is also one of those cycles that we'll get through in a couple of years. So we find a way to get through it, it tapers down, we get back to, we'll never be back to where we were, but it gets back to quasi normal. And, you know, we can go about business looking for the next big crisis that seems like every 5 to 8 years, we're going to have something. It's never going to go smoothly, you know?
Oh yeah. Hey, what are some of the coolest projects that you've done, you know, in, since you started your firm? Give me your top two. What do you think?
I don't know. I think we just finished a couple of sort of condominium projects. One basically hangs off the riverside downtown near Broadway. We did that with a partner of ours, her development, and we built that and designed it. And it's an amazing building. That's one of my favorites. I'd say, honestly, we've got a bunch of multifamily projects, but the coolest is we just did a restaurant. We don't do a lot of small sort of TIs, but we did this really, one of the top chef guys from television came to Nashville to do a restaurant, and they're the best group to work with. It was so much fun. Not a huge project for us in our scope, but it's right downtown. People love that restaurant. The food is great. And we were, you know, when you get involved with something with that kind of life to it, it takes on a whole different animal than what we're used to every day. And they're just the best group of guys to work with. So that was a lot of fun. I don't know. Do you have any favorites?
Well, the multifamilies that we've done have been great, but I did really enjoy something that you may know about is and they're in Atlanta, is the Red Phone Booth.
Oh yeah,
cigar bar. We built one for the owner here in Nashville, and he kind of sought us out a couple of years ago, and we met with him, and great guy, and awesome place to go, and it's kind of become a nice hub in for businessmen and so forth here in Nashville, and we were proud to do that one.
Oh, very cool.
Fun project.
My last event in Nashville, I did a cocktail reception at the Armory right off of 24 as you come into downtown. I did an axe throwing gig. I forget what area that was, but they had an axe throwing place. That was cool. And when I walked the craft beer conference when it was in town, that was probably 2 years ago. Oh my God, the cranes were up at the Bridgestone Arena and they were building some other stuff and they had just finished. They still were working on the convention center, had done a really good job on that. And just in general, like I moved here since 92. So I saw the Olympic stuff get built, you know, where I lived out here now, it was, you know, it was like the sticks. Now it's, you know, it's basically part of Atlanta, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. So, you know, I've seen Nashville over the years. Like you said, it was a sleepy little town. Now everybody and their mother is, you know, moving in there or in the outskirts or Murfreesboro or wherever. And listen, even with the pandemic, like you said, things went on and, you know, listen, doing that little restaurant, I like those little projects.
Yeah.
You know, I like those little, because it's a nice little portfolio for you. And, you know, it's off the beaten path. You never know who, you know, is going to look at it. And,
plus, I mean, I think for us too, like our pedigree as a business model is a little bit different. I mean, we have architecture as art, like people forget about that. And that's really important to us all the way through our organization. And that doesn't mean that we're sort of prima donna architects about stuff. It just means that quality design matters. And when you get a chance to do those smaller restaurants, you get a chance for everybody on the team to experience something wildly different, and everyone gets to contribute. And it's got a different energy to it where, you know, it reminds us that we can be artistic and successful. They don't have to be, you know, two different things. And that's really critical to our business, is, you know, serving others, doing great work, and being proud of what we do. Like that's really the fundamentals. And any project can fit into that. It's not just multifamily or restaurants. I mean, our portfolio is so wide and dynamic because we always ask, like, do we want to do a project like this? Or we'll buy a project, we'll buy a property and say, what belongs here? Instead of saying, let's shove what we do here. It's like, what belongs here? And so there's a lot of, I'd say there's a lot of creative exploration that happens throughout our entire organization, which is a little bit different than sort of the classic GC model, I would think, you know?
Mm-hmm. So thinking about this, I want to leave our audience with one positive thought from each of you that you want them to think about moving forward as we close the books on 2021 and move into 2022. What would it be? Scott, you go for it.
Well, I think it would just be my old adage that I've used for years and years, which is,
oh boy, I wonder what this one's going to be.
Which is under promise and over deliver. It's something we talk about all the time. It is in what we do. Our bond is our word. If you say you're going to do something, you need to do it no matter what. And we live by that. We talk about it all the time. And it's something that's super important to us, especially with the clients that we have and the projects that we have.
Awesome. Jared?
Yeah, I would say that when we founded the company, it was really based on serving others. And that's at every level. So my job as the president of the company is to serve our project managers so they can do what they do best. And our project manager's job is to serve the guys in the field. The guys in the field are to serve the trades. And if everyone's serving everyone else from that mentality so that everyone can do what they do best, it's been successful. We didn't grow this company out of our own geniusness. We grew this company out of treating people right, out of serving others, caring for others, and really trying to give back to our communities. That's really, really who we are. And I've got a lot of great mentors in the real estate development side. They're teaching me a lot, even as we get where we are now. I'm growing and learning every day just because those are the guys that I see serving other people as well, including serving us. And so even our financial partners and our mentors, they're taking the time to serve me and Scott to allow us to do what we do. And so you just see this beautiful, I know it sounds Pollyanna, but taking care of each other is really what we all need to be focusing on. I think the pandemic helped us focus on that as well, because we had to, but then now that we don't have to so much, I think we all should still be focusing on that.
Yeah, I like both those points. You know, my two are get her done and give me a chance. I'll prove my worth and then some. You know?
That's right.
So
that's awesome.
You know, listen, if someone wanted, you know, was coming into Nashville, you know, retailer, hotelier, what have you, and they wanted to get your, you know, thoughts on anything, how would they reach out to you two gentlemen?
Well, we have a website. It's certified-cs.com. That's our construction side. We have the bdg.com, which is the Bradley Development Group. And so it's the B as in Bradley, D as in development, G as in group.com. And then the bpi.com is our architecture group. That's the best way to get those. We have all these Instagram things too. So both Scott and I are way too old to even understand what to tell you about that. you know, you can post that maybe later, but yeah, there's all those tags and I can't even keep up. So we're still website guys, and I'd give my phone number, but I think that's probably not, I don't really want to do that.
Listen, you know, if you want to get in touch with them, you're moving into Nashville, or if you want to pick their brain and how they kind of went to make the evil triangle in, you know, in their own realm, you know, give them a shout, go on their website, shoot them a little note on the contact page. And I'm sure these guys would be able to talk to you. Hey, for all you guys that want to, ladies too, anybody wants to get in touch with me, you can get me at davidc@ccr-mag.com. We're always looking for stories. We just crossed 2.8 million people hitting our website last month. So, you know, it's been amazing transformation from print face-to-face to pretty much digital. And I don't miss getting on a plane. I just don't. I'm a million miler on Delta. I've got my bracelet. And, you know, I went to book my ticket. I'm doing a cocktail reception December 2nd in Phoenix. And I wasn't going to do it, but my buds were like, come on, do it. You know, get some pictures of the magazine, you know, people wearing masks. And I'm like, all right, but there's a flu bug going around. Everybody's sick in Phoenix right now, not with COVID, but with the flu. And I said, okay, I'll do it, you know? So I went online and I went to log in. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't been online. I haven't booked a ticket since last March. I don't even remember what my password was for Delta, you know? And I got millions of miles in there, you know? I was like, okay, whatever. And I had to look it up on my phone. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't been on. So It'll be interesting to go down to the airport. I've been in there forever. It's probably changed much, you know. And anyway, for those, listen, the way that Jared got, you know, featured, his publicist reached out to me. So if you want to get posted up on my website, or it's very tough getting the magazine, but look, if you send something to us, we will look at it. And, you know, we've got, you know, plenty of social media. I post every night. I've got 17,000 pages of content. We're always adding stuff. So it's like playing the lottery. I know some of you've heard me say this, but if you don't buy a ticket, you can't win. So if you don't send me something, I can't put it in the magazine or up on the site and so forth. And and it's a win-win because I have excellent SEO on our site. So if you put something on there, you know, I give you the link, you can share it, and, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. So send me something. Let me decide. You know, even if Jared would send me this little restaurant project, I probably would have looked at it. You know, I have a kitchen section in my magazine. I like putting the little stuff in there because the big guys can get the ideas from the little stuff, you know. So, you know, don't ever, I always talk, don't judge a book by its cover. Okay, send it to me. Personnel, charity, I look at all that stuff. Boom, I put it up there. So, gentlemen, thank you so much, time from the great state of Tennessee and Nashville, Tennessee, you know, just across the line. Happy Thanksgiving next week to you and everybody out there in Commercial Construction Coffee Talk. And with that said, I want you to say goodbye to our visitors out there on the web listening to us, Gab. So
thank you, David.
Yep. Thank you for having us, David. We appreciate it.
And Scott, you know, what division were you in the Army? What'd you do?
There? I was in the 101st Airborne Division up at Fort Campbell.
All right. Well, we thank
Screaming
you.
Eagles.
We thank you for your service.
Thank Absolutely. You. Appreciate that.
You know, Absolutely. We appreciate that. And I'm come from a military family. My grandfather was a combat engineer, and he rebuilt all the big bridges in Germany that the Allies bombed and stuff. Mm. So nice. You know, anyway, anybody, you know, military, my hat's off to you. We really That's appreciate right. you for keeping us safe. So we thank you.
Appreciate that.
And that goes for everybody else out there. Thank you for your service. So everybody, next week, don't talk politics at the turkey table. Okay. Don't talk politics, talk football, talk about everything, but don't talk politics. Just, you know what? It's just so stupid anyway. Just don't even talk about it. Okay. Talk right. about fun stuff. Enjoy, you know, play some Monopoly, have some fun with your family. Get, you know, don't think business. Okay. You got a month going on, coming in December, a couple weeks, boom, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all that stuff's coming up here, New Year's, and boom, then we can start the year off 2022 and, you know, close the books on 2021. You know, for me, 2021 has been a pretty good year. I learned a lot about my business. You know, just like everybody else, they had to learn how to survive. And it's been a learning experience. And just like Jared, I learn something new every day. The day I stop learning is the day I should go do something else. So, you know, this talk has been, you know, it's kind of made me think about, you know, things just in general. So with that said, say goodbye from Nashville, Tennessee.
See you guys.
See you later. Thank you much.
Thank you.
And I'm signing off from Sugar Hill, just below the Buford Dam in Lake Lanier. And we will see you next time on another episode of Commercial Construction Coffee Talk. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you later. All right, gents. We'll talk to you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, man.